Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to another Friday episode of the Athletic FPL podcast. I'm Mark McGettigan. You can find me on Twitter at FPL General. Happy Friday to you all. The FPL deadline is on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. UK time. Lots of wildcards active this week, including my own. So it's going to be a late Friday night for many of us. In today's episode, I'm going to cover the main news from the press conferences, answer questions from Twitter, touch on captaincy very briefly, and then reveal my latest wildcard draft. Visit theathletic.com/FPL pod to get 33% off an annual subscription. The main news from the press conferences, starting at Chelsea, Thomas Tuchel confirmed that Thiago Silva is out, but Lukaku is fit to face Brentford. So good news for Lukaku owners. There's other issues in the squad though. He mentioned Rüdiger is injured, so that's going to be a blow for a lot of managers who bought him recently. Pulisic is also injured, and Ziyech is a doubt with a headache and doesn't seem to be with the squad for tomorrow. At Liverpool, the Brazilians, Alisson and Fabinho will not feature. Curtis Jones and Thiago are also injured. There was good news on Trent and Jota. Klopp said Trent and Diogo are available. At least they were yesterday, so he was referring to them training yesterday. So all looks good for those two. At Manchester City, a big injury for Ferran Torres. He's going to be out for about 3 months. Their Brazilians also won't feature. Ederson and Gabriel Jesus. Pep confirmed that they won't play this weekend. Good news though for Gundogan and Zinchenko. They are both fit and available. At Manchester United, Harry Maguire looks set to miss out again. Varane is out for a couple of weeks, so Manchester United look to be without their first choice centre-backs, which probably good news for Mr. Jamie Vardy. Solskjaer had a few comments on Rashford as well. He said he's in the squad. If he's going to start or not, I can't tell you now. He's worked really hard throughout the layoff, been really bright this week, and had a 60-minute involvement behind closed doors last week, so he's raring to go. So Rashford could start that game this weekend. He's certainly close. At Leeds, Patrick Bamford is ruled out again. Calvin Phillips is a slight doubt. Bielsa said he has a chance of playing. And Luke Ayling is going to be out for another couple of game weeks. The big one we were waiting for was Rafinha. So Rafinha played for Brazil in the early hours of this morning. He scored twice. He played 71 minutes, which doesn't look good really for his prospects of starting this weekend. But unlike Pep and Klopp, Bielsa hasn't ruled Rafinha out of the game. So what Bielsa said on Thursday, he said after he's participated in the game, how efficient the rest he can have in the next 36 hours, and considering that a third of those will be spent flying, if there's any risk that the fatigue could cause injuries, then we won't risk him. So he hasn't been ruled out, but I would be very surprised to see him start the game. At Everton, Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin are closer, but they won't be available for game week 8. Luca Dean and Seamus Coleman are back in full training. Just going to fly through the rest of this because it's less relevant to FPL. Trincão at Wolves is ruled out. He tested positive for COVID, so that's probably good news for Hwang. A bit of less rotation risk there that Trincão is unavailable. At Aston Villa, Martinez and Douglas Luiz will be in the squad despite travelling back from South America, but Leon Bailey remains out. At Southampton, Che Adams is out. James Ward-Prowse is suspended. At Burnley, Ben Mee has also tested positive for COVID. Charlie Taylor has had a couple of knocks and Cornet is fine. And finally at Brentford, Ayer and Janelt should be fine, but Baptiste is ruled out.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Ten quickfire questions ahead of game week 8. The first one is from LA Flame. Is Trent a must-have despite the fixtures Liverpool have? So yeah, I think he is. I think he's too good to go without. I rate Salah and Trent as the two best players in FPL. Trent plays Watford this weekend, so I do think he is as close to a must-have as there is. I know he plays Manchester United in game week 9, so I can understand maybe why some managers are going to go down the Chelsea and Manchester City route for defenders and maybe hold off on Trent a little bit. It could be absolutely fine, but I want to own him for that Watford fixture this weekend, so Trent is locked in to my wildcard squad. Question from Mark. Is a move to a Man City defender a good use of one free transfer this game week? Mark is thinking of getting rid of Tierney for Cancelo or Diaz. And if so, which one would you pick? So yeah, I think using a transfer to get a Manchester City defender does make sense. Although I think Tierney is an okay option. So you could look at banking as an alternative. But I do like the idea of getting a Man City defender. Three excellent fixtures coming up. Could easily be three more clean sheets and a few bonus points for those guys. So if I was choosing just one of them, I think I'm going to have both of them on my wild card. If it was just one, I like Cancelo for his, you know, more attack and threat. And he's played every minute so far this season. So Cancelo is my preference. Question from Johnny. If Rüdiger is confirmed out, do I go straight to Trent or hold off until game week 10? So yeah, this is related to the first question. Rüdiger is now confirmed out, so I think it's an easy transfer. If you've got cash, Rüdiger to Trent this week is one of the easiest transfers you'll make this season. Question from Neil. Chilwell over Rüdiger on a wildcard. So one of the positions that I'm struggling with on my wildcard today is I'm looking at going for four big defenders. So Trent, Cancelo and Diaz. And then the fourth one, I want it to be a Chelsea defender. So it's probably been every Chelsea defender at some point over the last two game weeks. Now that Rüdiger's out, I'm actually more interested now in Christensen because Thiago Silva and Rüdiger won't play this weekend, so you'd expect Christensen to get a start. So he's come into my thinking just today since the Rüdiger news was confirmed. Chilwell's been in and out of my squad as well because what I like about Chilwell, he can get you 15 to 20 points in any given game week, and if he doesn't start, he's very unlikely to come off the bench, whereas I think with Reece James, we've seen in the past, if Reece James doesn't start, he does come off the bench from time to time. So I prefer Chilwell slightly over Reece James, but I favour the safer guys. I think Azpilicueta is the safest one to go for, but I'm looking at now possibly saving £1 million and going Christensen over Azpilicueta, and hopefully Christensen can get three or four starts over the next couple of games because we don't have a time frame on Rüdiger. So who knows, he might miss three or four games. We don't know yet. So Christensen is looking a lot more attractive in the last half an hour or so. Chilwell, I think, is an absolutely fine wildcard pick, but you've got to make sure if you're going for players like Chilwell or Phil Foden and these rotation risk guys, Jota, you got to make sure you've got at least one, if not two, good substitutes on the bench. And if you're wildcarding, you probably are going to have a good bench. So I think that makes the case for the likes of Reece James and Chilwell. It is doable because we've got the cover on the bench. Question from Akash. Should we go with five premiums at the back? For example, Trent, two City and two Chelsea, as they can be good value for money for the upcoming game week. So all week I've kind of been trying to decide, do I go for three big defenders or four big defenders? And I've even found myself this morning for a while playing around with the idea of getting five big defenders, because there's very few midfielders that I really like. There's not a huge amount of strikers I love either. So part of me is thinking, I think it is viable, and I think we will see some wildcarders do that this week. Go for Trent, double City and double Chelsea. It's a bit unorthodox. It looks a little bit strange when you set it up. But I think, you know, the way the fixtures line up for Chelsea and Manchester City, we know Trent is a very good option. I think going with that back five could, you know, you could reap the rewards of it over the next three or four game weeks. And if you go with five big defenders, yes, it's maybe not what you're used to or what we're used to as FPL managers. We're programmed to focus on attackers, but there's so much value in defence. So I haven't ruled it out yet myself. I'm going to play around again later with five big defenders. And if you do go for five big defenders, you're not locked into that for the rest of the season. You can do it for three or four game weeks, and then very slowly you can start moving cash back into midfield and attack. So yes, I think it is viable. I think I'm most likely to go with four big defenders rather than five, but it's something I have been thinking about today. Question from Ed. Ed is very tempted by Mason Mount on the wildcard. Would you go there? Again, Mount hasn't really been in my thoughts for the two-week international break until yesterday, really. Because I've been really struggling. I haven't sold Benrahma because I don't love any of the alternatives. But when you could go for someone like Christensen now over Azpilicueta, it frees up a little bit more cash. So maybe going with someone like Mason Mount over Benrahma is something I might end up doing. It's a fixtures pick mainly. You know, one of the main reasons people are wildcarding this week is because Chelsea have great fixtures. So I like the idea of getting a Chelsea triple up. So I do have, you know, if I go for one defender and Lukaku, there is a space for Mason Mount in my squad. And that I might go there. I might sell Benrahma finally today and take a punt on Mason Mount. I like that Ziyech and Pulisic are unlikely to play because there's less competition for Mason Mount. I thought he would have started this weekend anyway against Brentford, but I like him that little bit more now when there's less, you know, threat to his position from those two attacking players. So yes, Mason Mount, definitely viable. He's not a very exciting pick on a wild card, but I know a lot of people are looking at the likes of Phil Foden, you know, possibly Jack Grealish. I think Mason Mount probably has more chance of getting more minutes than the City guys, let's say, over the next 3 to 4 game weeks. So I do like Mason Mount, and he saves you a few bob as well over the Man City players. Question from FPL Locked In. Do you keep or get rid of Antonio on a wild card and go with double Brentford attack? So I do like double Brentford attack. It's not ideal this week because they play Chelsea, but from game week 9 onwards, the fixtures are great. Mbeumo and Ivan Toney, I think, will be great value for the long term. So it's no surprise to see lots of managers getting both of them this week. Probably not going to start both of them this week because they do have the Chelsea fixture. But again, Chelsea have some, you know, defensive issues now without Rudiger and stuff like that. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Brentford score in that game. But when it comes to getting rid of Antonio, I don't see any reason to. He's been amazing this season. The fixtures are taking a little bit of a turn now for West Ham, but I've always said as long as Antonio is fit, as long as he's healthy, he's getting attacking returns. So for me, it hasn't even crossed my mind to sell him on the wild card. He's locked in, and I think he's worth keeping. Question from Mike. Is KDB a viable option for his price tag this season? Do you think he will outscore any of Ronaldo, Lukaku or Salah between now and the end of the season? I don't think so. I would back all three of those, Salah and the two strikers, to outscore Kevin De Bruyne. I just haven't seen enough of De Bruyne this season. I don't think he looked very sharp against Liverpool. Yes, he got the goal, but to me he looked off it fitness-wise, so is he going to start 3 games in a row now? I would probably say no. So I think if you're going for a Man City midfielder, I think it's better to spend, you know, 4 million less, take a punt on someone like Foden or Grealish, and, you know, save your big cash for the likes of Lukaku and Salah. Question from Chris. For someone who used their wildcard in game week 7, is it time to move Ronaldo on for Lukaku or go for someone like Vardy who is in form? So I think it's a really tough one if you're sitting on Ronaldo at the moment. For me, it was an easy sell on the wild card because Lukaku has better fixtures and Lukaku plays for a better team. I think also on the flip side, it's if you don't have your wild card, keeping Ronaldo is not the worst thing this week because Leicester have been pretty poor defensively. Ronaldo could get some joy there. But, you know, straight shootout, Ronaldo or Lukaku for the next couple of game weeks. For me, it's got to be Lukaku with the fixture. So I would be inclined to make that switch. I still like Lukaku more than Vardy as well. Still find it hard to go there to trust Leicester. And obviously, tough fixture this week against Manchester United, even though, you know, they're going to be without their first choice centre-back. So yeah, Lukaku number one for me out of those three. Final question I will tackle is from Dan. Is Mason Greenwood still worth having? Ronaldo arriving seems to have dented his point scoring. Yeah, Ronaldo tends to hoover up the shots in the Manchester United attack. Greenwood hasn't done much for the last couple of game weeks. You know, he's under threat from Rashford now as well. Rashford's in line for a start this weekend, or at least, you know, an appearance from the bench. So even if Greenwood does start, you know, may not get 90 minutes. So I think it is a good time to sell Mason Greenwood. Himself and Ronaldo and Luke Shaw were all booted out when I activated the wildcard. So I'm going to have zero Manchester United players in my new squad.
I'm David Ornstein, and you can read my in-depth interview with the former Arsenal, Chelsea, and now very much current AC Milan striker Olivier Giroud on The Athletic right now. Giroud tells me about his battle to prove people wrong, literally since birth, 9 years in the Premier League, and his relationships with Arsene Wenger, Frank Lampard, and Thomas Tuchel, the highs and lows of France, yes, that Karim Benzema rivalry, and plenty more besides. And if you fancy seeing the interview, and come on, why wouldn't you want to watch a 15-minute video of Olivier Giroud shot in the fashion capital of Italy? You can find it on the Athletic UK YouTube channel.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
A quick mention of Game Week 8 captaincy, because quite simply, I think if you've got Mohamed Salah, you captain him this week and you don't think twice about it. I put a poll on Twitter this morning, four options: Salah, Lukaku, other, and see the results. And no surprise, Salah got 82.5% of the vote, Lukaku 7.4%, other 4.8%. There was a few Canes and Sons and stuff like that, and even a few Cancellos, and see the results got 5.4%. So I think captaincy is easy this week. Mohamed Salah is the best option. On to my latest wildcard draft now. I was hoping to be very settled, you know, by the time I recorded this Friday podcast, but I've found it quite tricky to really lock in a wildcard squad. And I spoke to quite a few other wildcarders today and yesterday as well, and it seems to be the case across the board. I think wildcarding during an international break always feels like a great idea, but when it comes to the Thursday and Friday, there's always a few things up in the air and there's a few tricky decisions to make. But at least the press conferences have helped us quite a bit with things like Rudiger. So my latest draft, subject to change, Ramsdale in goal and Foster as the backup. I am leaning strongly towards Ramsdale now, whereas last week I was looking at keeping Sanchez. I just think Ramsdale's underpriced. I think he'll do better for saves and for bonus points, so hopefully that one pays off. Hopefully he's a better pick than he was for me last season. Defenders, so it's four defenders from big sides. It's Trent, Diaz, Cancelo and Christensen. So Christensen's just gone in there after the Rudiger news, and Livramento as the substitute. Midfielders, Salah, Rafinha and Mbeumo. All three of them will definitely stay. I don't mind if Rafinha doesn't play this week. I want him long term. Mason Mount is in for the Chelsea triple up. That's the position in the squad that keeps changing, and it could change again. You know, Phil Foden's in my thoughts. I still haven't ruled out keeping Benrahma, so I'm a bit undecided on that fourth midfield spot. And that's what had me thinking of maybe just going for five big defenders, you know, get rid of Livramento and throw in another Chelsea defender, someone like, you know, take a punt on someone like Chilwell. The fifth midfielder is Brownhill. He's going to stay as well, 4.4, just third sub for the long term. Up front, I think I'm pretty settled. Lukaku, Antonio and Ivan Toney. You know, I do like Jimenez, but cash, probably not going to allow that. And I want Toney for the long term. Heung-min Son, I tried a few times to get him in, but I just don't like the corners that need to be cut to get there. So I am feeling a little bit more settled. You know, it's probably the Mason Mount position, probably the Christensen position. Those are the ones that might change before tomorrow morning. Best of luck for Game Week 8, folks. Enjoy the games and enjoy your weekend, whatever you're up to. And I'll talk to you again on Tuesday. If you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to support me as a full-time fantasy manager, visit patreon.com/FPLgeneral or follow the link in my bio at FPLgeneral. Wishing you all green arrows, in particular to my fellow wildcarders.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.